The sponsor of this week's episode of the Mobile Dev Memo podcast is Incremental. You've paused advertising and performance didn't change even though you're using an attribution provider? That's called cannibalization, and it's what happens when you don't measure value. True attribution should focus on value. True attribution measures incrementality, always on. Incremental is the only platform that measures incrementality without requiring any geolift experiments or A-B tests. Used by some of the most sophisticated companies in the world across iOS, Android, TV, CTV, influencers, and even billboards. Join the future of marketing measurement today with Incremental. To learn more, Google Incremental, the future of measurement, or use the link in this episode's description.
The problem is that the distinction needs to be drawn between the competence of the economists and the correctness of their analysis.
Welcome to the Mobile Dev Memo Canon podcast. I'm your host, Eric Seufert, and I am here with my co-host, Stuart Johnson. Stuart, how are you?
All right, Eric, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. As a reminder, in the Mobile Dev Memo Canon podcast series, we select one article from the Mobile Dev Memo archives and we discuss it in detail. So Stuart, which article will we be discussing today?
Today, we're going to be talking about an article from November of 2021. So during the COVID time, it's called Perilous Mythology of Brand Marketing for Digital Products. Have you read it before?
Not only have I read it, I wrote it.
All right, sounds good. So let's just start off with a two-part question based on the title of the article. You're talking about brand marketing, but what exactly is the difference between brand marketing and, say, direct response marketing? Now, the reason I ask this, I'd like to ask it in two parts, is because your article states that these definitions are generally fuzzy, according to marketing teams. So maybe you can explain why it's fuzzy or why marketing teams might get this wrong.
Yeah, it's interesting because there is a sort of tremendous wealth of academic literature related to both of these topics, both of these pursuits, but they are considered independently from what I've seen and read. And when they are put to use within a company, I mean, they're commingled, right? They're both utilized. You wouldn't really prefer to go all in on one or the other. You'd want to combine them. And so from an academic standpoint, I mean, I think a professor at a business school would disagree with my depiction of these ideas as being fuzzy. There's another, they're very well defined, right? They both have very concrete definitions. It's just that in practice, the use of them is sort of misunderstood, right? The use of them in combination is misunderstood. And so if you went into a marketing team and not a classroom, but you went into a marketing team's office and you say, hey, what's the definition of brand marketing within the context of how you utilize it? Then I think what you would get back would be kind of a fuzzy answer. It wouldn't be very precise. It would be sort of ambiguous. It would be a sort of like a nebulous definition of how that tactic is deployed by their team.
And of course, they think that their own tactic is the tactic of choice. Like it's the only one that they should use.
Well, maybe it could be, but more likely than not, it wouldn't be. More likely than not, this team would be using direct response. They'd be using brand. And they'd be thinking about them as part of like a holistic strategy. But isolating either of them and asking for the definition, I think you'd be kind of met with like a blank stare. You know, the team probably wouldn't have thought about it in that way.
That's actually funny to me. Like, what's your job? Oh, well, actually, I don't know. It just seems kind of ridiculous that people wouldn't have a clear grasp on what they're actually doing. Now, you mentioned in your article that brand marketing also includes like a sort of a personality for a particular product or brand, and you use the term brand equity. Now, what exactly does this mean?
Well, brand equity is sort of like a much more well-defined, you know, concept, right? And so that's why I kind of anchored there. It's very easy to discuss brand equity because it's sort of a little bit more of a practical term. And then when you kind of migrate up the sort of abstraction layer from brand equity, things get much more imprecise. But so brand equity is essentially just the quantified value of a brand. And this is something that you can measure, right? And traditionally it's measured across kind of what I say in the article is two vectors of consumer impact, right? So the first is just the ability for this brand to charge a price premium, right? So relative to some other product in the market, right? And that's something that you could very easily measure. And that's really just price elasticity of demand, right? So if we increase the price, what is the response by consumers and can we do that and make more money in that way, right? And then second is the degree of amplification that a brand bestows upon a firm's advertising activities, right? So in the way I describe, and that's how I describe it in the article, the reality is how much better is our advertising at reaching consumers, at driving sales because of this brand, right? So if we were more of an anonymous company or our product was more anonymous, less well-known, less well-attached to this idea of this brand, how much worse would our advertising perform at driving sales? But I want to go back to the comment you made before, because, you know, I think a lot of this stuff is academic just in general, right? So like if you went into a marketing team and said, hey, you know, define brand advertising or define brand marketing and define direct response marketing, and they couldn't do it, it's not because they don't know how to do their job. Their job is not to wield those definitions, you know, at the ready. Their job is to drive commercial impact, right? And so for a lot of teams, they would ask, well, why do you care? Why should I care, right? My job is to deliver commercial outcomes, right? I'm not an academic. I'm not a researcher, right? I'm a media buyer, or I'm a creative designer, or I'm an analyst, right? My job is to help the company make more money than it would without me. And so, you know, in that way, I'm sort of like very sympathetic to this idea that like, well, okay, they probably couldn't define these concepts. And, you know, within the marketing bullpen inside of a company's office, they don't really need to. I think it's helpful just as an intellectual exercise, because I think that helps you sort of deliver or build a sort of like more effective, broad marketing strategy. But, you know, for an individual, now, if a CMO couldn't do that, then I'd be a little bit concerned, right? If a CMO couldn't really define these within the context of how they use them to drive outcomes, then I would be concerned, right? So how are you thinking about brand versus direct response? How do those two things fit together into a broader marketing strategy? And if the CMO, the chief marketing officer, couldn't really tell you, then I would be concerned. But if, you know, you just sort of tap somebody on the shoulder and they're in the middle of an Excel spreadsheet and you ask them, hey, define brand marketing within the context of how your company operates, they'd say, oh, it doesn't really matter that much. You know, my job is to make sure that the revenue number goes up.
It sounds to me like you're describing left hand versus right hand. Like each hand has its own strengths and weaknesses, but one doesn't necessarily know what the other is doing. But the CMO or the brain, they need to be able to kind of coordinate both hands or both strategies or tactics for successful marketing here.
You'd hope so. And this article is kind of, I mean, the reason I included it in this podcast series is this was like a very widely read article. It's one of the top most read articles in the website's history. And I think it kind of struck a nerve with a lot of people because, you know, brand versus direct response. And I think, you know, in the first episode of this we did, we talked about like this false dichotomy of brand and performance. Well, that's ridiculous, right? You wouldn't want to do anything without an eye towards performance. So there's no reason to draw some false distinction between those two ideas, right? Brand marketing is a tactic. Direct response marketing is a tactic. They fit in together into a broader strategy, right? But I think the reason this article resonated, and again, it was in 2021 in the midst of COVID, people were spending a lot more money on marketing, right? And I think the idea of a brand and how a brand creates this halo effect was kind of like top of mind for a lot of people because, I mean, marketing budgets were just exploding because people were at home, they were buying more stuff online. And so advertisers were trying to chase that demand, right? And so there was a lot of amen, brother type responses to this article. And there was a lot of pushback too with people saying, look, you can't sort of frame brand marketing or brand advertising this way. It's designed to be fuzzy. It's supposed to be hard to quantify because the reality is, it's more of an art than a science, which is a phrase I hate. That phrase is sort of like a get out of jail free card for not thinking rigorously, I think. And that I just fundamentally disagree with. And I think, no, this is very much a science. These two things need to fit together in a very scientific way, in a very thoughtful way. This article it stirred up some controversy. And every time I share it, you know, there's usually like a very active discussion.
Well, I think probably one of the main reasons why the article was so widely read by so many people was because you've very clearly identified what the difference between these types of marketing are and why they're so effective in their own way and where you should use them, when, how, and so on. I haven't seen other people really describe it as well, and I'm not trying to brown nose or anything like that, but it's a well-written article. I can understand why it was so popular, in other words. Now, regarding direct response marketing, you said that it's mostly like for digital advertising, you know, during COVID, people are trying to sell digital products because people are trying to be safe and stay at home. But to me, the idea of direct response marketing for a digital product, it kind of makes me think of impulse purchasing a pack of gum at the grocery store checkout. But in the case of me buying a pack of gum, you know, no one's ever come up to me and responded directly. Like what I mean is no one's come up to right. me at the register and whispered something in my ear about buying gum. That would be creepy. Maybe you can give some examples of how this would work.
Maybe you just inspired a new marketing tactic.
but like the people in downtown European cities are hashish, something like that.
Yeah. Well, maybe someone listening is going to go try that. Okay. So yes. First of all, I want to point out that the title of the article is "The Perilous Mythology of Brand Marketing for Digital Products." Right. So I'm not speaking broadly about the role that brand marketing should play in commerce. Right. I'm talking about specifically for digital products. this is how I feel like brand marketing fits into the overall strategy, right? And so in the article, I identify three types of marketing tactics, right? So I talk about direct response, I talk about delayed response, and I talk about brand. Now, keep in mind, this is all in the context of digital products. I'm not talking about selling shoes, you know, in the store or whatever. Like, I'm not talking about a bread company. I'm talking about a company that makes digital products. This is how I see the sort of landscape of tactics for use in marketing. So direct response is pursued when I would like the consumer to respond in some way immediately, right? I would like the consumer to do something as a result of seeing this ad immediately with immediate effect, right? And so the possible formats available for that, again, for a digital product are digital, right? Because you could say, well, I've got a direct response mailing, like a physical mailing campaign that's going out for insurance or something. And so the person, they'll receive this direct mail, like in their mailbox, this piece of direct mail, and then they'll go do something. They'll call a number, or they'll, you know, go online and they'll buy some insurance. And that was a direct response. I'm hoping to inspire an immediate response from this person. But the thing is, it's not actually immediate from the moment of contact with the ad exposure, which is just opening up this piece of mail, like, because they have to go on the phone or they have to go on the internet. But the reality is, it's just not measurable. There's no full visibility from the interaction to whatever the conversion is. And a conversion is just an outcome, right? It's some sort of outcome that an advertiser is hoping to achieve. So that could be someone buying something. It could also be someone registering for a website and creating an account. It could be someone looking through a catalog, an online catalog, and adding something to their shopping cart, but maybe not checking out, but the conversion is just some outcome, right? So for digital products, direct response, the only possible format is digital, because it has to be delivered digitally, right? And then the response has to be digital, because it's a digital product. They're not going to go on the phone and probably order some digital product. That just doesn't really happen, right? And so the possible formats for direct response for digital products are digital, right? The timeline of intended consumer response is immediate. I want them to click and do something. And the measurement methodology is directly measured cost versus directly measured revenue. And that actually is sort of inherent to belonging to this group, to belonging to this category of marketing, is that I can directly measure this thing. Now, we've talked about this, that's become impaired in a lot of ways because of the changing privacy landscape. And so, you know, you can't directly measure everything and on a cost versus revenue basis anymore. But, you know, in theory, that would be true, right? Then there's delayed response. And so delayed response has more. And so the idea here is, like, I want the user to respond to seeing this ad with some sort of conversion as soon as possible. It doesn't have to be immediate, but I want them to do it while it's still sort of top of mind, right? And so a delayed response has more possible formats. It could be out of home, right? It could be a TV ad. It could be a billboard. It could be traditional media. It could be a magazine. It could also be a digital ad. And the idea here is that, well, they maybe are not in a position to be able to buy this thing right away, to just click and do whatever, click and purchase. But I want them to do it with kind of in the near term, right? The idea here is, I'm not building a presence of mind, right, for some later stage indeterminate purchase. I want them to do it as soon as they can, right? And so the measurement methodology for that is directly measured cost versus modeled revenue contribution, right? So since I don't have that full visibility into exposure to purchase, I have to make some assumptions about these purchases having been the result of the delayed response advertising. But again, the purpose of this is not to build a presence of mind so that when this person is in a mode of shopping for that type of item, they buy mine, right? The purpose is to push them to buy mine, to inspire them to buy mine. There's a big difference between those two sort of modes of thinking, those two sort of like commercial modes. And that leads us to the last marketing tactic, which is brand. Right? So brand has the most possible formats. It's all possible formats of brand, because a timeline is different. The timeline is for intended consumer response is the next time the consumer is presented with the opportunity to engage with this category of product, right? So that's push versus pull. Delayed response, direct response, push the user into making a purchase, right? Inspire them to make a purchase of this item. The brand is its pull. It's the person is in the market for that type of thing, and brand advertising inspires them or sort of convinces them to buy my product instead of the others that are available, right? And so those are two different, very different modes of shopping, right? Those are two very different sort of commercial mindsets, right? I go to the store, I'm there to buy stuff, versus I see an ad and it inspires me to want to buy that thing. And I either do it right away because I can, because it's a direct response ad. I'm on the internet, I'm on my phone, and I click and I can buy it. Or it's delayed response. Well, I see this thing and it convinces me I should buy it right then and there. I'm not necessarily in the market for that thing, but it's made the case successfully, and I want to go buy it. I'm going to with immediate effect, right? And so those are two very different modes, but you would differentiate between direct response and delayed response, right? And so the measurement methodology for brand is directly measured cost versus modeled increase in likelihood to engage. So the idea here being that, you know, how much more likely is this person to buy my stuff as a result of having seen this ad, right? Versus, well, okay, there was, now let's just look at the modeled revenue contribution against some baseline, right? And that's a very different thing, because the purpose of brand marketing, again, is to inculcate this preference for this product such that when offered the opportunity to buy it versus any number of competitive products, and that number could be zero, I guess, they buy mine. And that's not a one-off thing, right? And you can't really measure that in terms of like immediate lift or sort of like near-term lift, because it could be like a lifetime of lift. And that's why you have to think about it that way. So this brand preference can be very sticky, can be very durable. It's not just the next time this person's in the market. It's for the rest of this user's life. Whenever the user's in the market for this, I want to make sure that they pick mine versus the competitors.
Yeah, it's very complex the way that you're saying it, but you also say it in a very simple way. I'd like to point out, just for some clarification, that you had a graph in your article that I found that very useful. You actually showed the physical difference between, say, brand and direct response marketing, namely that with brand marketing, you have ad, then purchase, purchase, purchase. And with direct response, you have ad, purchase, ad, purchase, ad, purchase. How would you say that would work with like delayed response marketing? Would you have ad, wait, purchase like that? Or... Because the best thing for me, with delayed response marketing, you made an analogy to a billboard on a highway.
Right. What inspired me to think of that distinction between direct and delayed, and I mean, I don't know if other people have made that. I mean, I'm probably not the first person to come up with that idea. It seems pretty obvious. But when I was living in San Francisco, Robinhood, the stock trading app, it was engaged in this very, very sort of like broad-based marketing campaign. And they were doing a lot of online ads. They were doing ads, you know, on phones and in web browsers, but they were also doing out of home ads. And I did see, not a billboard, I don't know what you'd call it, but it was like a poster in a bus stop. And I was thinking, okay, I'm not going to see that and immediately pull my phone out and install the app because I'm waiting for the bus. And I don't want to be dealing with that while I'm waiting for the bus. But as soon as I get on the bus, I might do that, right? I've got free time. And so it's not going to be an immediate. Now, I mean, we could quibble about whether it's kind of direct because I'm doing it within a few minutes of seeing the ad. But nonetheless, you don't really have the visibility into the chain of events, right? That was my point with direct response. It's like, okay, click, I can see that. Land at the webpage, I can see that. Purchase, I can see that. All of those things are a chain of events. Now, again, you can't measure that with total visibility anymore, but like in the abstract, you potentially could. Whereas delayed response, okay, well, no one knows that I saw that ad, right? There's not a record of the exposure, right? To me personally, there's no, you know, click ID, right? Because it's right in the real world. And so you might quibble about whether that's kind of direct response because, okay, I'm going to pull my phone out within a few minutes, but nonetheless, you don't have the visibility. You don't have the record of the exposure. And so you're basically just guessing about how many people are seeing that ad. And there's actually companies that will estimate that, but that kind of thing. But that's kind of what the catalyst for me thinking about the distinction between those two things. Like, okay, that's kind of delayed response. And the purpose of this is to get them to pull their phone out and install the app. It's not to make them think about Robinhood the next time they open up the app store thinking, I should download a stock trading app. I'm in the market for a stock trading app. So let me open up the app store and type in stock trading and see what's available. Oh, Robinhood, I saw an ad for them one time. I'll download that. That would be brand marketing. Like that use case would be served by brand marketing, like inculcating in them some preference for that brand of product, right? The purpose of that ad was to get the person to pull their phone out with pretty immediate effect and download the app, right? But there was no record of their ad exposure. They don't have a click ID, right? And you don't have this sort of paper trail of click to download to start trading, right? And so that's kind of what made me think about that. So if you think about the chart in the article, right? You're right. There's the brand marketing. It's like a timeline. You've got the ad exposure and then purchase, 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 right? The whole idea of brand is like inculcating this preference, right? And so maybe that person for the rest of their life prefers that brand versus others when they're in the market for that type of product. The purpose of direct response is ad exposure, immediate purchase, right? Or ad exposure, immediate account registration or something. Pretty immediate connectivity. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you expect the result of that to be whenever they're in the market for that type of product, they'll pick your product, right? And then delayed response, it would probably be like, well, okay, the purchase happens a little bit later. So like in the direct response side of that chart, it's you, the ad exposure, the idea that I was trying to sort of conjure up there was that the ad exposure happens, the purchase happens almost immediately after. Well, that maybe you'd shift the purchase symbol a little to the right of the ad exposure. There's a little bit of time that passed, but maybe not even that much, right? Again, it's going back to the Robinhood app poster example. Maybe it was just a couple minutes. I'm not going to whip my phone out at the bus stop. because I'm waiting for the bus. I don't want to start some process and then have to get on and then pause it and get on the bus and then resume it. I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait 3 minutes or 5 minutes or however long until the bus gets there. And then I'm going to pull my phone out and do that. And that would be the distinction.
The direct response marketing actually makes me think of a form of magic. Now, this is a weird aside. There have been a lot of movies, Ocean's 11, that series and stuff like that, where they try to get somebody to do something that they don't know that they're being told to do, kind of subliminal instructions to choose a card from the bottom of the deck or something like that. It sounds kind of like that's what direct response marketing is. Like I see something several times over the course of a few days, weeks, years, months, whatever. And then one day I finally decide that maybe I have been convinced I need to buy this thing. And the one that I saw the most often is going to be the brand that I choose. Does that sound kind of accurate here?
Well, that'd be more brand marketing, right? That'd be more, you know, inculcating that preference. With direct response, it's like, hey, there's a thing that looks cool. I'm going to buy it. For some stuff, I'm sure the comparison to like the impulse buy in the grocery store is apt, right? But for a lot of stuff, it's like, okay, that looks cool. I didn't know about that. I didn't know that product thing, that type of product even existed. Oh, they have an app for that? That's cool. I'll download it, right? Or well, wow, that's an interesting sweater. I'll buy it. I need a sweater. Or maybe I don't need a sweater. I just like that. I like it enough that I have no immediate need for a sweater, but it looks really cool. And I think I'm going to buy it. Like that's it. So I don't think the purpose is to like subliminally influence something to do anything that's like against their interests. Right. It's just to expose them to some product that they might enjoy. And the thing is, unfortunately, it's not magic, because if you look at like the conversion rates for any of these ads, any ad generally, period, digital ad, they're very low. Right. So the reality is this is reaching people that have A, the means of buying this thing, B, the interest in that type of thing, and C, the time in that very moment to do it.
Well, conveniently, in these movies that I mentioned, yeah, they have pretty much 100% success rates. So
right.
I guess a lot of marketers could only dream about that. Now, in your article, you're able to include all of these things, kind of clump them together into performance marketing. Would you be able to take performance marketing and the different types that we've been talking about, delayed response marketing, brand marketing, and direct response marketing? How should an advertising department or the branches of an advertising department spend their money on these? Should it all like be equal, or what's your recommendation?
And that's where you get into like, this is why the CMO should have some sense of how these things fit together, right? So, you know, in the article, I have this, I guess it's a diagram, right? And I talk about the incorrect marketing taxonomy and measurement hierarchy, and then the correct marketing taxonomy and measurement hierarchy. And the point is like, in the incorrect version, I've got marketing is like this big bucket, like this big bucket of activities. And then I have on the left, performance marketing budget, and then performance marketing measurement model. And on the right, you know, separated by like a line, a dotted line through the middle, I have brand marketing budget, brand marketing measurement model. That's the wrong way of thinking about marketing. It's a strategy, right? Those two things are not opposed. They should be part of the same strategy. They are tactics within a strategy. And the correct way, I have performance marketing as like the sort of category. And then you got direct response, delayed response, and brand. And all of those have their own budget, right? They all have their own budget that funds the activities under those tactics. And then there's a model, right, that sort of connects all of them. And the idea here is that there's no right answer to that question. There's no right answer to how much, what percentage of your budget should you spend on brand versus direct response versus delayed response. The reality is you should test it. You should have a model that tells you that, right? You should have a model that tells you, look, when we have brand ads running, our direct response ads perform better, right? The click-through rates are higher. People click them more readily or whatever. The average purchase price, the average purchase value is higher. We make more money when there's brand running because the direct response digital ads work better, right? Or maybe we're not running any. Maybe we found that like just having the brand ads, we're reaching people that only buy this stuff when they're in the market for it. And that's totally demand-driven. And so we just need to convince them that our brand's the best. There's no fomenting a moment. There's no fomenting a commercial response here. They're only going to buy this thing when they're in the need for it. Right? Like a car. No one's going to see an ad for a car and then buy it right then and there. Right? Like it's okay. Well, next time I need a car, maybe I'll buy a Ford because I see a lot of Ford ads. Right? Now that's not a digital product. Right? So for digital products, it's probably rare that you see companies going all in on brand if they've thought about this in an intellectually rigorous way and they've tested it. Right? But the idea here is that you've got a model. You've got a model that accommodates all of these tactics. And then that informs your budget allocation. Right? So there's no right answer. They all fit together in unique ways for every single company. And even for specific products. And the challenge, and that's why this is a challenge, that's why this is, you know, and that's why I think this article kind of resonated. But the challenge here is building the model. And we talked about that in the first episode, that's always the challenge with marketing. It's building the model and having the model tell you, okay, well, this is the right mix. This is how you should spend your money, right? And this is how you should allocate across these different tactics, because this delivers the best outcome.
So I guess we should start summarizing the entire talk that we've had here. It seems like the most important explanation for how these three kinds of marketing differ are when the expected sale is intended to happen. You know, the person just automatically comes back to this brand. The person wants to make the impulse purchase now, or they've been kind of talked into it over a period of time and eventually they decide to buy that product. Is that basically the simplest way to explain these three kinds of marketing?
Yeah, I mean, I think with brand, it's important to my mind, it's important to distinguish between I could potentially be convinced to do this right now versus I'm only going to make the decision when I'm in the market for that product. It's like almost supply driven versus demand driven, right? Push versus pull. I can push you into making this purchase right now, or I'm going to have to pull you into it when you're in the market. Like, you set the timeline. Who sets the timeline? Could I convince you to do this right now? Or do you really need to be primed to make that purchase and in the mode of making that purchase in order for my marketing to have any sort of effect? That's the kind of difference I see. And then distinguishing further between direct response and delayed response, it's, can you do this right this second? Or do you need some time, right? You're going to do it. I'm pushing you into the purchase, but you need some time. You can't do it right this second.
Okay. So basically my final question for you, what in your opinion is the best single marketing tactic for digital marketing?
Well, it's an unsatisfying answer, but I would say it always depends. I would say that if you're selling digital products, right? Apps, you know, or products on a website or something, something that's fulfilled digitally, more than likely the majority of your budget is going to go to direct response. But that's not always true. I mean, that's not always true. I've seen companies that are spending more on brand. And it might just depend on how old the product is or where the life cycle the product is or how big the market is, how many competitors the product has. I would say that most likely, if you're selling digital products, you're going to be spending more money on direct response than brand or delayed response. But again, I mean, it's so context dependent, it's impossible to answer that question. It's really just what works best for you. And that leads you down the path of having to develop that model. And again, that's the challenge. That sits at the heart of doing marketing well, of doing it efficiently and profitably, is can you build a model that tells you what the best allocation of budget across all these potential options for, you know, buying advertising space or marketing to people are?
I don't think that's an unsatisfying answer at all. I think that highlights the need to not always give a binary answer for something that is more complex. It's a balancing act. You know, we see this in every aspect of our lives on a daily basis. So I think that's a great answer. Anything you'd like to add before we conclude?
No, I would say I'll link to the article in the show notes. But yeah, at the height of COVID, this was top of mind for a lot of people. How do we balance our spend across these different tactics? Because we need to chase this demand. And, you know, I hope I contributed to the literature in some small way.
Yeah, the whole world changed so much during COVID, you know, everybody going to digital. And so it was interesting to see how even marketing did, because, you know, everybody was trying to sell something that was digital, you know, like buy it. I saw people trying to sell a digital scarf. How does that even work? Turns out they called it an NFT. You know, I think that actually COVID kind of brought about the rise of NFTs to a certain extent, because people just wanted something new. They just wanted to buy something.
Well, that's a separate podcast episode.
Yeah. Digital scarf. Well, thank you very much, Eric, and talk to you very soon.
Thank you, Stu.